for the numerous times we're still studying wisdom. And the reason it's so important is because our minds think that wisdom is something that minds think wisdom is. All these pithy little sayings that people record that, you know, you buy books of quotations because people think it's wisdom. Some of it might be, but if unless it reveals him, it isn't.
I've been reading pithy little wisdom sayings all my life, and I'm always impressed with them. They sound great, but I can't think of one instance where they made a difference. They're just pithy little wise sayings that sound good.
My favorite pithy little saying is, if it isn't 2,000 years old, it's crap.
I'm pretty pithy.
Anyhow, let's go to Ephesians. We're studying still that wisdom is justified for children in Luke 7:35, but we are doing all the references about wisdom in the scriptures.
Ephesians
1. On verse 3. I think we may have studied this yesterday. I don't remember. Did we? Can you see in your notes there if we studied Ephesians 1:8? The last
Ephesians
one.
Ephesians 1, yeah, 1 through 9, it's mentioned here.
Okay. I don't know that we studied. Let's just read it again. Start in, let's just start in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So again, it's all about him. But let's go down to verse 15. Well, let's just continue reading. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, and again, the dispensation, the word here just means this plan. It doesn't mean like the dispensation of Gentiles and the dispensation of this and that, okay? God isn't acting differently in different times. In the plan of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now this next few verses is one of the great prayers of Paul in the Bible. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, not yours, wisdom of him, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Doesn't leave anything out. It's all him. And wisdom, if it doesn't reveal him, isn't wisdom. You got it? All right, let's go to Colossians 1. Let's just start in verse 8. He's talking about Epaphras, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love. We have been removed from time and space. Our permanent residence is in eternity on the mercy seat, in the New Jerusalem. Unless that's your home, and all the plagues that are coming when the seals are open, or you'll be a partaker of. And then he's doing it that might, maybe somebody might believe.
And that's the only place that wisdom makes any sense.
Amen.
In that environment.
All right, go to verse.
This to me kind of screams repentance.
Hmm?
This kind of screams repentance, because this place that we're talking about is not
It's not open to your mind. Your mind cannot comprehend it. Your mind cannot be a party to it. That's why, again, that one little phrase I was going to emphasize. Can't find it.
But number 9 is what's got you. You can fill with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's just no other place that can happen except in Christ. Here we go.
No. Anyway, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, we just started.
Oh,
there.
We just did that.
Oh, I know what it was.
We can take a break.
In verse 10 and 11, that you might walk, and walk is what it means to conduct your life. It means the same word that's translated conversation. The word means how you conduct your life in all ways, internally and externally. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All right. Now to.
So, I guess my question is, what does that mean, long-suffering patience? Waiting.
That means you're patient with joyfulness no matter what is going on with you.
That's the outworking of the wisdom.
That's the outworking of the wisdom. Without it, you're just another ignorant dolt. An ignorant slug.
Who are you talking to?
Everybody. I said, without that, if you don't have that, then you're an ignorant slut.
A slut.
What?
People say ignorant bastard.
All right.
Well, only one thing. I guess if you haven't abandoned yourself and you're not walking in the faith of Him and you, then there's this sense of living your life with this expectation of immediate gratification all the time, and you never, and your mind never rests.
That's why you're 666. You can't reach 7. Rest. Ouch. All right. Let's start.
Where are we going?
Colossians 1. We're just going to read farther down. Let's just start in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works and enemies and... yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which has given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So Paul's only purpose is the manifestation of that wisdom to present you perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, again, people back then were no different than, we're probably more ignorant than they were, but other than that, we're no different. And if you look around here and it says that by your understanding, if you are to be presented perfect, I'm just going to close the book and go home by what it looks like. But you're presented perfect because every one of you has equal opportunity and equal ease of total repentance, total abandonment of self, total emptying of that evil one. It's the one thing that is not dependent on intelligence, it's not dependent on anything, except that you're sick and tired of the world. But you can't leave that place. If you want to leave it, you better leave it quickly and go find out that everything that you think you want is crap, because time is about to be over. So why is this so apparently difficult? Is it because the preaching hasn't been hard enough? Is there something out there that still is appealing to you? that's the case, then the world hasn't been crucified unto you. You've been crucified unto the world, but the world hadn't been crucified unto you. You understand what that means? You've still got things to do, mountains to climb, rivers to cross. You still live in the vanity of your mind. It doesn't take any effort. If you're sitting, if we didn't have modern toilets, if you had to bend down and take a crap, it doesn't take any effort to walk away from it because it smells. If you don't know, and it's odious, if you yet do not know, as Job did, finally, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself. If you don't abhor yourself, none of this will ever, at best, it's a philosophy. Somebody's coming.
You can.
Yeah, have a seat just a minute. We're finishing Bible study. Do you understand? I mean, this is why it's easy. Does that offend anybody because I say the abandonment of self is easy? How can that offend you? Remember, the gospel is only to the poor. They're the only ones that can hear it. But poor has nothing to do with what you think poor is. Poor has to do with what you sense and know in your mind. The poverty is an easy, you know, it doesn't take any effort to be poor without money. But the poverty of knowing that every idea you have, everything that you think is right, every position that you think is correct, everything that makes you, as long as you have those things and possess them, then you're not poor, you're rich from God's standpoint. So you have all these ideas of the way things should be. You have all these opinions about how you should be treated and all this other crap. Then you're not poor. You can be poor as a church mouse from the standpoint of money, but that's not what the Bible is talking about poor. It's poor with regard to, you've seen the stupidity of all the things that you think are right and all the right ways that you need to be treated and all the right foods that you need to eat. You're not poor, you're still rich. The preaching of the cross is to destroy all of those things that you think are right and good and proper, so that you can be an empty vessel for this pearl of great price, for this Christ in us, the only hope of glory. Otherwise, you're just play acting. You have to be a hypocrite. God doesn't care what your outward religion is. Not even the slightest. He cares not how many times you come to Bible study. He cares not how often you read the Bible. He cares that the preachment of the cross has had its effect on you, so that the only thing that's going on in you is the outworking of the life of Christ. That's wisdom. If there's anything going on in you, then you're not poor.
Yeah, it's like the rich man can't enter into the kingdom of God. It's harder than going through the eye of a needle and all that kind of stuff. Because if you listen,
because only
this,
Christ can enter the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
And Christ is in us. He becomes our only self.
Yeah.
And that, by definition, makes you servant to all. You stop insisting on your way. It's not difficult. But you need a body of people, a community, to work it out, because your mind is always going to screw up. Your mind is always going to find a reason to elevate itself, to raise itself from the deadly head wound. But you're the one that raises it. You're the one that gives that beast the breath. You understand? And that's all the purpose of time, to see if there's anything that can pull you off, pull you away from that mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only purpose time and space exists. Now, the minute you see, you don't give in to anything. Ronnie and I talked, you can't give in to pain. Because, in a sense, you have to own it, because it's Christ and He is you. He's yourself. And it's not happening to you. You've been counted worthy to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ for His body's sake, which is the church.
And your lack of obedience reveals your idolatry.
No, we've talked about it, reveals you're an ignorant slut. Well, that's probably enough. I don't know why I went on a rant again. It's Ronnie's fault.
Hey. Yeah, thank you for coming back this morning.
Any response to any of this, Mr. Buckner? Yeah. A couple times you looked like you got hit with a 2x4.
Well, I was thinking about the Word of God.
Still do.
But that's the everything you said. It's all about His ability.
Amen. But you have to die. You don't have to die. You have to reckon you've always been dead. That's why you're called mortal. Mortal means dead.
And you're called a believer. And you're asked to believe some pretty incredible
things. Well, you can't believe. You can't believe squat. You don't have the faith of an ant. We are partakers of His faith. We are crucified with Christ. Yet I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No longer faith in. That's child's play. But you live by the faith of Him. That means you're out of the picture. You cast down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. You've been perfected by one offering. Why are you worried about something? You own all things. It's impossible for you to have a need. Oh, but you don't understand my position. Oh, I'm so blah, 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 blah. You have to they mean nothing.
Yeah. And that's where abandonment comes in. And faith.
It's his faith. The only thing you can do is to see that everything is crap. You can see the vanity and emptiness and futility of everything, including yourself. Once you see that, that's all that God wants you to see. Then for after that, everything is his business. Yeah, you can run around and say, I'm second. No, you're not. You don't deny Christ by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Christ by saying you exist.
Yeah.
On Grand Slam.
Oh, God. John? Amen?
Amen.
Anybody does an amen?
Amen.
You better.
I did.
John? Take it, big guy.